Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Packham. Joining me this evening, we have Matt Knight.
Hello.
And Joe Branton.
Hello.
How's it going, chaps?
Yeah, all right.
Very good, thank you.
Good, good. I didn't come up with any crazy nicknames for you this week.
Oh.
I've got one for Jay next week. It's going to be good.
Okay.
It's going to be really good.
I'm glad you planned this far in advance.
Yeah. Well, we were supposed to podcast yesterday, and then the machine that we usually use to record was broken, and then we bought something else, and then that didn't work. So we're back to a trusty Zoom H6.
I much prefer the Zoom H6. I think it's consistent.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It does the business, definitely. Definitely. How's everyone been? Matt Knight, how's your week been?
Yeah, very good, thank you. Just enjoying the sun, doing a lot of training for my run, and playing a lot of guitar, which is a rarity. But yeah, I actually had some chance to play guitar at home.
How far are you running on a daily basis?
This weekend I've done nearly 20 miles.
That's insane.
Yeah. It's good fun though. To see the sights.
I don't know how you do it.
I don't know, I must be mental.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed. So you bought a guitar?
Yeah.
That's unusual for you.
I know. I said I would buy no more. But it was a Dan Electro Dead On 67 baritone, and I've been eyeing up one for ages, and I think they're discontinued. They never come up second hand, and it came up in obviously the best colour, limey green.
Amazing. What an amazing colour. If people haven't seen the guitar on, you put it on the group, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, it's absolutely incredible.
So, run us through it. So, Dead On 67, so 67 spec. What does that actually involve? What's the body made out of, for example?
I think the body is still that, whatever that weird wood composite is that they use. I can never remember exactly what it is. Because I'm always confused about Electro, how they actually... Because was it an actual model they made in 67?
Probably. Sure you... I don't know what that means. I don't think anyone does. Like, they just come out with, like, random stuff all the time.
And yeah, that's true. Like, but they are normally named after years, aren't they? Except for the Wild thing.
But I don't know if...
Oh, and the, like, Longhorn.
Even, like, the 59s and stuff. Were they actually around in 59? Is that spec?
I think, to be honest, that is part of our job as being on the podcast to know that rather than asking that.
Well, yeah, I know. But the problem with Dan Electro is it's so hard to find out because they do, like, runs for, like, a month and then they discontinue, like, that model. So there's never anything, like, up on the website, or, like, it's really just hard to find out exactly what's going on.
Do you remember the completely Paisley 59?
Yeah. The neck and fretboard were
completely paisley.
That's the one, Matt. If you ever see one of those on eBay, let me know.
Yeah, it's because I think Dan Electro are distributed by JHS in the UK, so I thought I'd just have a look and see what they offer. And they make a 63, which is like a double cut, but they all come in metal flake finishes, including turquoise metal flake. They do a 67 rather than a Dead On 67, which I think is just a non-baritone, no trem. And they do some weird stuff. The Hodad,
The Hodad's great. I really like the Hodad.
That's been in the catalogue for a while. Is that the one that has got the built-in effects?
No, they do a Hodad bass.
Because for a while there was like a Hodad style guitar that had built-in multi effects.
That sounds amazing.
Right.
Like the Vox, those teardrops that you can make into drum and bass machines.
Yeah, that just had a drum machine. This actually had like a full multi effects processor in the guitar.
Amazing.
So weird.
So ridiculous. So what have you been doing with this baritone then?
Do you remember that square Dan Electro they had? That completely rectangular body shape.
It wasn't Dan Electro.
Wasn't it?
No.
It was.
Gretsch.
No. Dan Electro did like a it wasn't completely rectangular, but it was more or less completely square. Do you remember that?
Is Joe Branton correct?
I don't know.
Okay, good.
I'll look it up whilst you guys move on, and then I will laugh in your faces.
So what have you been doing with this baritone so far?
Well, at the moment, I tried to set it up because the action was like a mile high, and whoever had it before had loosened the truss rod off so much that the action was just ridiculous. I mean, the truss rod was basically loose inside, so I've tightened it up as much as possible, but I have recently given it to a tech to do a proper setup on it, because even after 10 years I think I'd still rather give it to someone who it had a bit more experience in setting up guitars, but effectively just using it to replace the Italia that I had for ages setting up in baritone.
That
but
was great.
It
with
was
the
never
speed
baritone
stripe.
Scale length. That was the problem.
Oh, yeah. It was just you'd basically converted it from regular tuning to baritone.
Yeah. So it's kind of nice to have something in baritone tuning. And I don't know what it is. Down-tuned guitars just always sound a bit better. Like if you tune down to E flat, it just sounds better than being in E.
Yeah, completely. So what are we looking at on this Dead On 67 in terms of pickups, and like, has it got a trem?
Yeah, it's probably the worst trem of all time. it's basically, so one bolt at the back, one screw at the back of the trem block, which basically holds it in place into the body, and then it balances on like two other screws. And then it's just like a flat piece of metal that's like bolted to it that goes up and down. So effectively, not a very good trem system. Two lipstick pickups. I have no idea what the body wood is. I'm assuming it's probably Masonite, which is what they do on most of those Dan Electros. And then like a weird silvery kind of scratch plate, rosewood neck. But it's just got that cool Dan Electro sound about it. You know, they don't really sound like anything. And those lipstick pickups tend to have that sort of hollow, sort of real heavy mid-range sound to them. And it's just a really, really nice guitar.
They've got that kind of quack to them, those pickups, that like you just don't get on anything else, really. I guess it's a combination of the pickups and that weird body wood that they use, kind of half plastic, half plywood thing. Joe Branton has proven us both wrong, I think.
Damn right I have. Yeah, here it is. So the Dan Electro Dano Pro... A Bowtie Flintstone.
It's not called the Bowtie Flintstone.
Yeah. Yeah, it was known as the Flintstone or Bowtie guitar.
Wow.
It's a really cool sort of... definitely check it out. I'm sure Dan Electro Pro will find it as well. But yeah, it's kind of... sort of almost rectangular with a really Flintstone-esque sort of sharp-shaped triangular scratch plate.
Sort of, it looks like if Devo had been in Grease, the movie.
Yeah.
Not the country. Yeah,
exactly.
That'd be weird.
But it's the same sort of setup you get on all the Danos, so the two lipstick pickups and everything, and the trem, and the same controls. But yeah, it looks totally brilliant. What a totally cool guitar.
Yeah,
time they reissued it, guys, was 2007.
Yeah, so I remember those.
All of us have worked in guitar shops. Well, actually, I wasn't then, but you two have worked in guitar shops when those guitars were available.
Yeah, and I completely forgot. I think it was your description when you said completely rectangular, and it's not.
That is more rectangular than I'd say 99% of guitars.
It's true, but when you say completely rectangular, that just instantly
you think of
the
Bow Diddley.
Bow Diddley,
fair enough.
I think the weird thing about Dan Electro is, like you say, that the catalogs always seem to change, and every time the main one you see is DC-59 6 string or 12 string. You very rarely see any of the other models.
It sounds like they don't do a DC-59 at the moment, though. Is that right?
Yeah, they do.
I thought you were just saying you looked at the site and there wasn't one on there.
No, I was saying there's not a Dead On 67 baritone.
Oh, right, okay.
Like normal. 67. Their normal catalog's like a 63, a 67, Hodad, Wild Thing. They do a 56. Oh, they do 59M, which is the most recent one, which I think is the kind of slightly different pickup design.
Okay.
And then they do... they do like one
what's,
in silver
what's the
metal
slightly
plate.
Different pickup design?
I think, well, it says here that it's like a modified pickup or like a, it's like a, what was it, misplaced.
Oh, okay. So it's just going to be an angled single. I just wondered if they use like humbuckers or maybe like double lipsticks or anything anywhere, but yeah, it'll just be angled, right? It'll just be strat angled lipsticks.
Yeah. And then they do a hollow body 12 string. And then they do a Danelectro convertible, which is like a weird, almost like acoustic.
Yeah, it's
with
like
a piezo and a lipstick in it.
Yeah, it's a. It looks like a DC59, but it's deep and it's acoustic essentially.
Oh, weird.
With a piezo, and but there's, it's the lipstick goes across the sound hole, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's right. And then the piezo is just obviously under the saddle.
Nice.
I was in. Oh, what's the only good Denmark Street guitar shop?
Wunjo,
yeah. I was in Wunjo the other day, and they had an old, like, probably 60s Danelectro bass. It was so short scale. I think there were, like, 15 frets on it.
Was it a Longhorn?
No, it wasn't. It was, although, yeah, they're pretty short. No, it was the short horn body shape, so the 15, okay. The 59 body shape, but with hardly any frets on it, and it had a sound hole in it and then a lipstick right on the neck.
Nice.
It's just the weirdest thing ever. It sounded great. I really,
did you play it?
Yeah, I played it. It was absolutely brilliant.
Wow.
It's difficult, isn't it? I find when I go into other guitar shops, you've played all the ordinary stuff, so yeah, you just end up looking for like the weirdest. Like I recently I nearly bought an Eco.
I remember you saying
from the Wunjo Bass Center when that was still, is that still going?
Don't think so.
Yeah, I almost bought an Eco from them just because it was the only thing that I hadn't actually ever tried out.
You just went in and went, I've done all those, I'll buy it.
Yeah, that was pretty much it.
Right, good.
I was going to say, just a quick one, I just thought while you were talking, I'd just have a look at some of the other, or some of the Danelectros. Actually, the DC59M, when they say misplaced, apparently all of the DC59s now are DC59Ms, and it's because their supplier misplaced a load of pickups only to discover them recently. So all the pickups in them are about 15 years old.
Really?
So they all sound slightly different to the lipstick pickups that they used to put in them about a year ago. So everything in these ones, or the current run at the moment, are DC59Ms, so they're like an older lipstick pickup.
That's really cool. That's definitely got to be... This has to be the time to buy one of those in that case.
How about
to get a limited run misplaced? I love Danelectro. We don't give Danelectro enough love. Not that we ever say anything bad about them, because there's nothing bad about them, but we don't actually talk about them.
I don't know. Jay loves them.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Jay talks about them. He used to have one for a bit. But yeah, I mean, how's that for a marketing ploy for you? Oh, we found this old box of pickups.
Well, do you remember Gibson did it with the all the wood that they got taken off of them by the FBI, didn't they?
The government series.
Yeah.
I don't think they ever made it over here, actually. Like, no. I never saw one in the flesh.
No, I doubt it was that much that was,
they could make that many. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I was just having a quick look on just Wikipedia about all the guitars that they made. They did one called Stan and Dan. I was like, what is that? It's a double neck.
Yeah, they've done double neck 59s, 12s and 6s before.
What's the fact that they've given it two names.
Oh, I see
brilliant.
What you mean. Yeah, that is
Stan and Dan. Matt, I understand you've also been hanging out with a tape delay this week.
Yeah, I was... Where I work, we are a full-time custom shop dealer, so we get access to a couple of models that they don't sell through all of their retailers, and they do the Full Tone Tape Echo, which they've done for a long time, which has got, is basically a copy of the Echoplex full tape with valves. The only problem with that is that it's quite a big unit, it's quite bulky, it's a little bit fragile, quite noisy because it's got the valves in there, and this unit is a third smaller, full size tape but a completely solid state, less noise, and it just sounds amazing. Like, A-B'd it quickly to like a timeline set onto like vintage tape setting, and there's just something so good and so warm about tape that you just physically can't replicate. It just sounds awesome.
So full size tape, so not like a cartridge like on the upcoming T-Rex one.
Yeah, no, it's they've kind of like full tone of like designed their own tape cartridge,
okay.
Which it sort of sits in like a figure of eight, almost like in a cassette. But because the tape is quarter inch thick, you get the full bandwidth and the full sound of the tape rather than a much smaller tape. Obviously, the thinner the tape, the kind of less it's going to record, and obviously the less quality you're going to get. So this is a full bandwidth tape, and it's got things like switchable preamp, so you can go to the Echoplex preamp if you want, or you can use a much more modern high fidelity preamp. You can tailor the way the repeats sound, and it's obviously got the awesome slider at the top for tape speed, so you can slide the speed in real time, which is cool.
Is it stereo in and out?
No, just mono in, mono out.
So you couldn't use it for like mastering stuff?
No, I suppose, and you could. I suppose, yeah, you could feed everything through it, track by track, which would take a while. But I'm assuming there's probably some reason they can't do stereo, because I suppose the tape's not stereo, is it?
It's just
probably
mono. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And how does the preamp sound? Like, can you use it for a bit of drive?
You can't really use it drive, because you can't. It's not like one of the Echoplex pedals where you've kind of almost got like a volume control. It's just switching it on or off.
Okay.
A bit like the old Echoplex, really, is that, you know, most people realise that when the tape's not actually engaged, I'm still using the preamp. So you can kind of go to the EP3 style preamp where it's a bit darker, a bit warmer, you know, adds a richness to your sound, or you can turn it off and you kind of get all your highs, all your lows, and then like a full bandwidth sound.
And what sort of money?
729.
Oh wow!
Which actually, considering that what else you can buy on the market, on the second-hand market, for something that's, you know, brand new, comes with a warranty, is going to be a lot more reliable because of modern kind of components. I thought really good.
Because the full custom shop one is much more expensive than that, isn't it?
About £1,200.
Yeah. Okay. So double the money. What, and the only bonus is the Valve Pre.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think that you could probably live without it, because I think this thing you could probably gig. I think it would easily be reliable enough and like safe enough to gig with, I reckon. Although I suppose most people might not, but it is an awesome sounding unit.
Cool stuff, Joe. You were telling us before we kicked off the podcast that you have bought another bass this week.
I have.
Where are we at in the ongoing saga of your bass collection? Because let's cast our minds back a couple of weeks. You were about to sell everything to get maybe a Fender Custom Shop,
yeah,
P-Bass or Jazz Bass.
Yeah.
Where have we gone since then?
Well, then we had the conundrum with the Music Man Classic Sabre.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah,
I did sell a lot of stuff.
What went
not
out?
Quite all of it.
What went out before that?
Well, what did I sell?
Yeah.
To get to that point.
Yeah.
I kept my Billy Sheehan Yamaha,
okay,
BB. I've sold my 1979 Yamaha BB 800.
Mm-hmm.
I sold the Geddy Lee Jazz Bass that I was playing, and I sold a Mexican P Bass.
Why did you have that?
It's just always kind of been there.
I never even knew that.
No, I've got lots of stuff.
Not the 50s one, just standard.
No, yeah, the 50s one stays. That's
the one.
One of the ones, yeah. And I sold a load of pedals. And that was about it. Yeah, I think that was it. So
the Sabre came in.
Yeah, Sabre came in and then immediately went back out.
Yep.
So I realised that still live in Fender's catalogue was one of the very few classic player basses that they actually do.
I can't even remember what that is.
Well, one of them is...
Oh, not the...
The Rascal. One of them is the Rascal.
It's not the Rascal.
No, I was really close though.
I might
still get it though, because I'm not going custom shop now. Basically,
okay,
the reason I'm not going custom shop is I was literally being like, I even like got hold of the fellow at my place of work who deals with ordering them in and said, yeah, I want to get this custom shop. And then the next day I had to
be like, no, I definitely don't.
Right.
Because I was playing a gig and it was the end of the set and there'd been an encore and it was very packed out and there were people like over the barrier bits and it was all fun and stuff. And so the big like rhythmic bit at the end of the set, me and the guitarist just started hitting our guitars against each other in the air to do the rhythmic bit.
I'm shaking my head right now.
And I realized whilst I was doing that, I was like, man, I can't do that with a custom shop. It would be a bad idea with a custom shop. So I decided instead of getting a custom shop, I'll just get two good basses. So
just like you had before.
Yeah.
Oh, God, what have I done?
So I've got on its way is one of the Fender Classic Player 60s jazz basses in a lacquer finish.
What?
Yeah, they did a nitro. They did, you know, they have the 60s in their standard sort of Mexican
white and sunburst.
You can get white, black, or sunburst in the standard range. They released the same model, but a nitro finish, two tone sunburst, torque guard, you know, for nitro neck with a tweed hard case.
What?
Yeah, for like £800.
Wow.
So
okay.
I was like, oh yeah, fine, I'll get that. So that's on its way. I've actually got two on their way, and then I'm picking the one I like.
Okay.
Because the first one that came in, I have to say that the Mexican idea of how nitro should be applied was a little bit heavy handed.
Okay.
Like the vintage tint was kind of glowing orange.
Okay.
So I thought I'd get a couple just to see which one was better. And then I don't know what to do for the other one. I was still thinking Limelight. One of the chaps on the podcast got hold of me and let me know that there was a burgundy mismatching headstock Nash going on Bass Chat.
Nate Mendel.
For $1,100. I don't really like Candy Apple Red.
Okay. That's a great bass.
Yeah, it is a great bass. I don't like Candy Apple Red and Black Scratch, so I'd straight away have to change it to a parchment plate.
Okay.
But I don't think Candy Apple Red's for me. Oh, maybe it is if I change it to a parchment plate. Then you might have put that on the table. But I was thinking about the Rascal.
Great bass.
As well, great bass. Or I could, you know, save some money and buy like a Vint Mod Jazz, the 77 in black.
They're why though?
Good.
You've got a nice.
But
jazz.
Yeah, no, that's the point.
But also,
here.
Do you need another P bass? You've got a great one. Get the Rascal.
Yeah, that's true. Well, no, I don't need another P bass. I was thinking about getting another Jazz. I've still got one Jazz anyway. Now, this is another Jazz.
Wait, what Jazz have you got?
I've
now?
Got that Bitzer Jazz, that white one.
I don't know.
Do you remember that one, Matt, with EMGs?
No. I can't even remember what bass amp you've got, Joe. You've changed your gear more than me in the last like 2 months.
No, I'm set. I've got the OB1500. Well, it's not with me at the moment. It's with Jay because he's been gigging it the last week or so.
He's gigging it tonight. That's
Yeah, that's true.
He's got to put it through an Ashdown 1x12.
Oh, man, that won't handle it at all. That will blow up. But I've got the OB1500 and two 15-inch orange cabs.
Because I thought you said you gigged it and then we're like, oh, I'm not so sure it's
yeah,
right.
I didn't gig it. I band practiced with it, but I was using the Sabre, and so I think it was a bit of both. And I have found I do need to use the Boss GEB7 before the OB1. Otherwise, it is a little bit
to
honky.
Push the front end a bit.
Yeah.
And take away some mid?
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, it's just really, really mid-heavy.
I never thought I'd hear you say that.
I know. I love mid, but this was just like I sounded like I was playing on the back pickup of a jazz bass with everything else turned off.
Nice.
Except for the mids, you know. That's
my favourite tone.
That is your favourite tone.
That's the love tone.
Oh, it's a horrendous tone.
So you've also, I saw this week, you've had your hands on some very, very nice Gibson Firebirds.
Yeah.
Which is something I didn't think I'd be saying.
No. Non-reverse Firebirds. So they're not 2015s. They're not.
Okay.
They're not.
Well,
and
they are by the fact that they're
made.
They're
not 2016s either.
No, I realise that they're off brand.
Interim.
Okay.
Well, it's part of the Japanese market, so they weren't for UK. I think the gist is that 2015's Les Pauls are causing such a massive controversy that Gibson have decided
they're getting some reinforcements.
Yeah, exactly. And where better to go than some really reasonably priced. Firebirds. I tell you, I've seen some weird things online about the price of them as well. Like people being like, oh,
How much are they?
They're 1,500 quid. And I'm like, maybe it's just people that have never bought a Gibson or something, because that is very reasonably priced for a Gibson. I'm really impressed with these. 1,500 quid for a Gibson with a hard case is a good price.
Pelham Blue as well.
Maybe you're not spending enough. What? Yes. Faded Pelham Blue.
Nice.
But more importantly, Ferrari Red, which is such a rare Gibson colour.
See, I didn't. I saw the picture and I didn't like that one as much.
Oh, really? Fair enough.
The Faded Pelham Blue looked awesome.
Both of them look great. The non-reverse Firebirds are absolutely brilliant.
Yeah. £1,500 is not a lot for
it's
them.
Not. No, it's not.
American made. Two mini humbuckers.
Sorry?
Go on, Matt.
I was going to say, how much are they normally, though, when they were doing them for? Weren't they $14.99 before? So they're like
maybe
the same price.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't remember what they were before, but I just think for anything like that, for like a weird Gibson. To be honest, I think I come at it from a more bass perspective, and whenever Gibson release something weird in the bass world, it's always really expensive and overpriced.
Yeah, I mean, they weren't going to be a grand, were they?
No, exactly. Well, this is it. 1,500 quid I thought was great. But seriously, if they release two non-reverse Firebirds in really rare Gibson finishes, you know, in limited numbers, I wouldn't have been surprised if they'd have gone, yeah, $2,500.
Yeah.
Because that's sort of how much Gibsons cost.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they're definitely stripped down, you know, they're not like maple cap or anything like that.
No.
So,
and the finishes, do you remember, you know, like the specials?
Yeah.
It's not a matte finish, but in the finish isn't as even as it is on their premium models. You know, when it looks
that's
like...
That's kind of the vibe that I got from your Instagram picture.
Yeah, when Gibson have done some guitars in the past, certainly, I mean, I mentioned things like the... Do you remember the Ripper reissues they did?
Yes.
Where they look a little bit like they've been painted with a brush.
Yes.
Sort of thing. Yeah,
I understand
it's that sort of gist.
You know, again, it's not huge money. I mean, it's... Obviously, £1,500 is quite a lot of money, but... In the grand scheme of things, it's not, and it's a cool guitar, you know.
Yeah, it's definitely a value holding guitar, anyway.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, where else are you going to get a reverse Firebird?
Yeah, comes in a 2014 case as well.
Really? So I wonder if they were released in Japan last year.
Yeah, maybe. Kind of... So the pink insides and the brown leather outside, which is way better than the horrible weird gold
the
ones
C3PO case.
Ugh.
Yeah, not into that. This all leads us very nicely into the first news item.
Nudes.
First bit of news this week is Gibson have announced the Sprint Run Les Pauls. Matty,
yes.
Do you want to give us the rundown?
So I think it's very, very similar to what they did a few years ago when Guitar Center kind of specced up loads and loads and loads of guitars with Gibson that were going to be exclusively sold through Guitar Center in the US. And then I think they've kind of gone, oh, we've made loads of them, so let's offer them to a load of dealers worldwide. So it's now, as far as I remember, same neck as a 2015, or is it the 20? No, it's the 2014 neck.
Yes,
still G-Force. That's right, isn't it?
No G-Force.
No, really?
Yeah.
I thought there was a model with G-Force on those.
No, as far as I'm aware, they are 2014 spec neck and tuners, but then 2015 bodies. So pickups and routing and layout and everything from 2015.
Hmm. Then I stand corrected. I thought that they were basically an in-between... a kind of, I don't know, a 2014 and a 2015 in the sense that it still had 2015 features but a 2014 neck.
What's have you got a picture of one up there?
I have, actually, yeah.
What's the situation on the logo? Because I know that's been a fair point of controversy on the 15s.
Same logo, the Les Paul 100.
Okay. Oh, okay. So, I mean, as far as we can tell, these are a stopgap until 2016... guitars are announced, I would assume. Probably a slight, although they were specced up for an American dealer, probably a slight reaction to the reaction to 2015 guitars.
Yeah. But the stuff that is coming through about 2016 does sound good. So the new, no tuners on the headstock.
Wait,
complete G-Force. All of them are seven strings now. And they're now completely made out of plywood. And the necks themselves, instead of just doing like, you know, a Masonite version of rosewood, this time they've just gone for like plastic.
Okay.
Just because they feel they need to go the whole hog.
Really. I mean, that's obviously just the special editions. The regular 2016s are just made out of a jelly baby.
Yeah, that's it. It's a jelly baby with strings. Well, no, they don't need strings anymore. It's not strings anymore, is it? It's this new laser technology that they're having. So you never need to change your strings because they're lasers.
When you started saying that, I really, really thought you were about to
leak
say
something.
Things that you actually knew. No, and I was like, I don't know this, but if I don't know it, that means you definitely can't say it.
Yeah, no, we do know stuff, but it's all embargoed.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, you can tell me afterwards. I don't know anything. Well, I do know a bit. So, yeah, I think these are going to do quite well.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Well, really, obviously, you know, there's a kind of elephant in the room, really, that 2015s have had a mild...
rough ride.
They've had a bit of a muted response, I guess, in terms of how people are getting on with them. But, I mean, most people who walk into a guitar shop won't have heard any of that. And, you know, since the price drop, seem to have been loving the 2015. So
it's a bit of a weird thing to go back on it, really. It's weird though, because no one really knows what they're doing for 2016, and then it's kind of a case that everyone's like, oh, well, they've done this guitar in the meantime, I'll get one of them. And then for all we know, in like 6 months time, all the guitars could be exactly how they were like 4 years ago.
Well, 2014 was a great series of instruments. I really loved the 2014 range of stuff. I think they expanded the bass range and introduced, well, the EB came in 2013, but they, you know, expanded it further with more colours. There were some great Les Pauls going on in the 24 series. They expanded the specials, so they made Gibsons really accessible for people who don't have the sort of £1,500 plus to buy one. And we got things like those Melody Makers. They were 2014, weren't they?
Yep.
They were great. Yep. They're brilliant little things. I thought that was a really forward-thinking year for Gibson.
Yeah, well, I mean, this year, I would say 2015 is forward-thinking.
Oh, yeah.
It's just not necessarily forward in the way that everyone would like it to be, you know. But, like we're saying, since the recent price drop, you know, the feedback that I get from you guys and, you know, from Matt, is that they've been selling really, really well. So, who knows? Who knows what 2016 will hold? But for now, if you wanted something a bit more traditional, I guess Sprint Run Les Pauls are going to be the way. Matt, do you know what models there are? Is there, like, a standard and a traditional and a studio?
I think they're doing standard, traditional, and studio.
Okay.
As far as I'm aware, I don't think they're going down to like LPMs or juniors or anything like that. But I did just realise they have the same nut on. So they've got the same headstock, the zero brass nut, but obviously the traditional tuners and traditional neck shape, everything else is, 2015 basically.
Okay. So it's just basically neck profile and tuners, which I guess were people's biggest gripes, you know.
Yeah.
Hologram on the back of the headstock?
Don't know. Can't find a photo. I was just having a look.
Right.
I don't think any have landed in the UK yet. So, all of the photos are either side or front on. So I can't tell if there's a hologram on there. I would imagine there will be.
Yeah, yeah.
If it's got the Les Paul 100 on the front.
You'd think so. So that's the big G. The big F this week have announced brand new limited edition colours for the Classic Series. Matt, have you had a chance to have a look at these?
I have. I was actually, for the life of me though, can't remember the colours, the colour names. Have you got them in front of you?
I do not. They're
things like loads of colours they've never done before.
Well, I thought they were colours that they did as custom colours.
No, they're not custom shop colours, as far as I can tell.
No. Like custom colours from back in the day. So when you
These are completely. We're not talking like not rare things like Burgundy Mist and Sherwood Green.
No.
Totally new.
Yeah, Matt. If you could.
Langoon. It's like Langoon red.
Langoon.
It's like a lilac. Yeah, it's like a lilac colour.
Of course. Cheers, Fender.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's all. So it's basically 8 guitars over the course of the next kind of 6 months, I think. They're doing 2 guitars at a time, all of the Classic Series, and there's no spec changes. It is purely just the colour.
Okay. Have you got the colours there?
No, I can't. For some reason, I can't find a list of them anywhere.
Okay.
They're all very weird colours, though.
They're not weird in, like, you know, there's not like, I don't know, slime green. It's more like...
Lilac's pretty weird. I mean, tasteful. Yeah, tasteful,
I think,
but
if I remember, it's like lilac, and then it's like a very odd red, apple green. It's like an apple green is kind of weird. It's a mixture between like surf green and kind of like sonic blue.
Oh my God, that sounds perfect. I want an apple green guitar.
It's like Granny Smith apple green.
Yeah, they look. They all look really good. I've seen a picture of them all lined up. Kind of, it almost looks like a page from a Fender 50s catalog. Looks awesome.
Maybe I can get one of my new basses refinished.
You're ridiculous. Relentless. Matt, bit of news that I think you'll be able to shed some light on: the Singular Sound Beat Buddy Mini.
Ah, the Beat Buddy.
You're sort of familiar with the Beat Buddy stuff, right?
Yeah, a little bit. It's a shame that they're not sort of... I haven't had a chance to go on one because I don't really know. I think there's only one place in the UK you can get them. And it'd be really nice to kind of actually sit down and give one a go. And I've watched quite a lot of videos and it's like an awesome bit of kit. But it's quite expensive. So what they've done is they've basically made a mini version of it. So for people who don't know, the Beat Buddy is kind of like the more advanced version of the Digitech Trio, in fact that although it doesn't do bass patterns, it does like a lot of drum stuff. You can buy an optional foot switch. It's got fills. You can actually plug it into your computer but program in your own drum sounds, do different time signatures. It's got like dynamic playing modes, and they've kind of scaled all of the main features down and basically made a smaller, more pedal board friendly mini version.
I've watched a few videos of it. For someone like me who kind of can program drums a bit but can't really play drums, if I was doing like solo stuff or even just for like practice, or like if I wanted to show a song idea to a drummer, it would actually be quite useful. There's enough features on there to kind of flick back and forth between like patterns and stuff and different parts of the song. I'm quite curious about the mini one because the full size one was quite expensive and quite bulky.
Yeah, I mean, basically the full size one, as an example, you've got 220 included songs, which includes more than 3 fills per part. But what you can do is just any song can play on any drum set. So you can, you know, there's kind of hundreds of thousands of different options for different styles and different types. So what they've done with the mini is just included 100 songs with 2 different fills, which is more than enough if you're a songwriter. But you just can't do anything like edit it on the computer or sync it via MIDI or anything like that. So it's kind of, it's more of a like a practice tool where I think you could use the full size Beat Buddy as like a proper gigging tool. And because everything in there is like 24-bit sound in stereo, it just sounds like real drums.
Yeah.
I think that's where they've really won over the Trio. Loads of people have bought the Trio and they're an excellent product for jamming around at home, where I think you can actually probably gig with the Beat Buddy. And it would sound like really realistic if you spent some time programming some drums and stuff as well.
Definitely. One last bit of news this week. IK Multimedia and Boogie have partnered up for the Amplitude Messer. This is a collaboration. Obviously, IK Multimedia have done Amplitude for quite some time now, kind of one of the oldest bits of amp modelling software, I guess. They've got an official partnership with Boogie, so they're now modelling, I think it's pretty much all of Boogie's range. Matt, have you used Amplitude?
I've messed around with the app, but because I don't do much home recording, I haven't really had a proper kind of in-depth go at using it. But once again, I've watched quite a few videos, and I was watching some reviews before the podcast on, and it, like, I think the thing is with all this software now, it's getting so good that it's, you know, things like Kemper, all the software, it's almost like you only really need a valve amp if you kind of want the joy of plugging into a valve amp. Like this, I know so many people have just got a Kemper in their studio now, and then that's all they use.
Do you know what I've used? Obviously the Kemper stuff's great. What I've used Amplitude for is for initial reamping of guitar stuff. So like, firstly, in a studio setting, like if you're recording a full band together, going in through Amplitude and then that, having that come out of the headphones means that you don't have to bother about miking a guitar amp up for tracking. So really good for that, really good for getting a realistic sound for that. But also then, like, going and finding tones that you want to sound like. So there was a record that we did where there was a couple of guitar bits that we didn't really know what we wanted. We knew how, obviously, the guitar parts went, but we're like, oh, I don't really know if we want this as like a Boogie or sort of more Marshall-y, more, or, you know, more Orange, kind of mid-range heavy. So we just kind of reamped it and then scrolled through presets on Amplitude, like using Amplitude as the amp that we were going into. And it was great because we could just kind of go, okay, what would it sound like if we were using a Marshall? What would it sound like if we were using an Orange? And eventually the Orange sounded way better. So we just went and got an Orange out of the studio cupboard and then bothered to mic it up. Whereas if we hadn't done that, we'd have had to get everything out, mic it up, you know, and do it kind of...
properly.
Manually, I would say. Yeah, I'm kind of into Amplitude. Out of all the modelling stuff that's just software-based, I think that's kind of the best one. Joe Bratton, any thoughts on Amplitude?
Absolutely none.
Good. Shall we move on to some questions?
Sounds good.
Actually, I was just going to... I was quickly going to pipe in with one thing that popped up while I was searching for those custom colour Fenders.
Go
and
on.
It's something I've never seen before. On Fender's website, the Sergio Vallon signature.
Oh, yeah.
It's half Strat, half Mustang.
Oh, yeah.
How come you don't know about this?
No, I've never seen it.
It's brand new, isn't it? It was new this year.
Yeah, I've just not seen it in any shops. It's the most mental guitar I've ever seen from Fender.
It's got like a weird... It sort of looks like a vintage like Jag or Jazzmaster trem, but it's more... It's like better than that, like, basically.
Yeah, but it's got like a Mustang control plate, but it's got some really weird switching options.
It weirdly kind of looks like a Jagstang almost.
Yeah. It's kind of like, a really bizarre Jagstang.
Do you know who he is?
He plays in the electrifying Mexican quartet, Mana, by the looks of it.
Mana. Okay, well.
The world's biggest Latin rock band, don't you know?
Wow.
Oh, really?
Good stuff. Should we dive in some questions?
Questions.
All questions this week from the Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum. First one comes from Ricardo, who says, I've reached a plateau on my learning. Are there any recommendations as to what I can do to continue growing? I'm not accustomed to reading tabs, and many times when I do, there are such weird signals that look like walls of text, and I don't know what to do. Joe Branton,
yes,
you probably practice more than anyone else on this podcast. You've often said, when I've said, oh, what are you doing this Friday? Do you want to come out and have some beers and hang out and be a super cool guy? You're like, no, go home to play some bass.
That is just to get rid of you.
But, yeah, of course. You're actually just in the pub next door.
That's true.
Good. What do you do when you sit down and play bass?
I mean, kind of any advice I'd have for Ricardo would kind of sort of step over what he'd sort of said to avoid. I do well, I don't actually do that many tabs. I do a lot of like listening to songs and just working them out. I guess Ricardo's, I would assume by sort of the way he's asked this, that he's not trained and he can't read music properly.
Which I'm sure he can read.
Yeah, he can probably read. Yeah,
he typed that question.
Yes, that's true. I mean, I tend to like just play along to loads of songs. It kind of, I think, I do that from the default of having of being 31 and having a lot of friends who are getting married and realize that they could save money if they round up enough friends who can make a wedding band. I think I got asked to do the first one of those about 7 years ago, and I must have done like two a year since then. I'm not even in a function band.
Yeah. Do you get paid for these gigs?
No, they're all free, but it gets me out of getting them anything.
It means you don't have to like make small talk with people at the wedding as well.
Yeah, exactly.
I've got to go and do something on my bass.
Yeah, exactly. It is much better than having to sort of be plonked on tables with people that you do not care about. So I tend to have to learn a lot of crap, but actually a lot of crap is very good. I find something that's quite good is to pick a genre. I did something recently, kind of actually inspired by you, Mark, which was... to go back over like loads of Booker T stuff,
yeah,
and learn all the MG's bass lines from things that I just played along with a couple of their bests of, okay, like a few times around. That's fun, like trying taking on a different style. And I came quite late to listening to like Stax and Motown. I know you obviously listened to it loads more, but and I think it was from being given something like Grapevine on a wedding list. I was like, man, this is a great bass line. Really got me into flat wounds, really got me into like foam underneath the strings. I appreciate Ricardo's probably a guitarist, but still, like, try, you know, picking a style that you like but know nothing about, and really sort of go through loads of things on that. I think that's always quite good.
I've always just like played along to records. Like, I can't remember the last time that I looked out a tab or anything. I can kind of just work it out, but then the stuff that I listen to is fairly basic. Like, I'm not thinking Dream Theater. Do you know what I mean? Matt, how about you?
I used to practice quite a lot, and I really sort of fell out of it when I started working.
When you got a random tone generator?
Yeah, because it just did all the playing for me. But one of the things that I found really helpful recently is having a loop pedal. You know, we do often say that, oh, you know, it's one of those great things for practicing and songwriting. And it really is, because, you know, just taking a chord sequence and then kind of trying to, you know, play over it, even in a pentatonic, but doing like a different, you know, different shape of the pentatonic, or just learning new licks, or, you know, just coming up with new ideas. I've always found that really helpful. And in the past, actually, I found one of the best things is, you know, similar to Joe, it's actually just being in a band. It's kind of one of the reasons I'd like to do something again soon. But, you know, even if you just get together and just do some covers, because it just improves your playing, because you're listening to other musicians and you're kind of thinking about what you're doing. And yeah, you learn things that you wouldn't necessarily normally learn. So you kind of pick up new ideas and new techniques. But yeah, practicing, I've always just recently I've struggled to find the time, which is a poor excuse, but, you know.
I always say that, but then I've played a lot of PlayStation this week, so should probably be practicing some guitar. And I've got a gig coming up, so I need to get the bass chops back.
Oh yeah, I was actually terrible this weekend. I downloaded Grand Theft Auto Vice City on my iPad.
Oh yeah,
I must have sat there for 2 hours.
Great soundtrack, one of the best ones.
Oh, I just turn the radio off; it just annoys me.
What? Oh, you're crazy. You should be playing bass along to it. Oh, yeah. Just leave. Is it Tony Montana? Is that the guy? Was he from Sopranos? Yeah. Whatever the guy's.
Sopranos, I think.
Is it right? The guy from who's basically the guy from Sopranos. Just leave him in the street and put the radio on and play bass along. James says, "What small valve amps do you guys think are good? Ones for bedroom practice and things that will really give some nice crunch, but then go clean when you roll back on the volume on the guitar."
Come on, you can make it.
Been looking at the Vox AC4 TV, which I've heard is pretty good, and it's switchable down to 1 watt for crunch at bedroom levels. Also been looking at the Duo Sweet Baby. Thoughts, suggestions of good amps?
We get this one quite a lot, don't we?
We do, and I was going to say that we always talk about the same stuff. I was wondering if you guys wanted to shout out anything else. Like, is there any Moor stuff or any perhaps more budget solutions?
Moor do some interesting, but they're heads. They're just heads, aren't they? So you still need a cab, which I think is a bit annoying. Hotone as well. Do some cool little amp heads. So if you've got a cab sitting around, I think some of those things are great. The Purple Haze by Hotone is wicked.
I think the tricky thing is like people always say, I want a small valve amp for home use. And as soon as you want specifically just valves, I think you almost do limit yourself, because things like the Voxes sound great, but I think when you wind them down to like a quarter of a watt, they just don't sound very open. They sound very compressed and very boxy. So I almost find that you'd be better off maybe going for a small valve amp with a good clean sound, and then using something like an overdrive pedal for a bit of crunch, and then it's still fairly dynamic with your guitar playing. Because I think sometimes if you run an amp like a valve amp, you know, really low power but maximum output, sometimes it can almost, I don't know, they can just sound a bit.
Yeah, that's, I agree. Valve amps, do you know what I mean? React differently at different volumes. I don't think it's as simple as like just punching the input gain. Like the Crush Pro series, the Orange Crush Pro series, they've been a great example of like something that's not got valves in it but reacts very, very similarly and gives you lots of options for home use.
Definitely.
Yeah. I think that's why I still use a Microcube a lot of the time. If I'm playing sort of later on and I just kind of want, you know, a decent sound, low volumes, I just use that. But actually, Mark, you've probably got one of the better ones in the TubeMaster 5, but I think it's discontinued now, isn't it?
It is, yeah, it's gone out of the catalogue because they knew that I'd bought it.
You can still pick them up second hand.
Yeah, I mean, you could still get one second hand. Hughes & Kettner TubeMaster 5 is really good because it's only 5 watts. The clean sound is very transparent. It kind of takes pedals.
Is that why you've got a preamp and a load of other stuff in
exactly
front of it?
Yeah, so putting pedals in front of it, if you want to go down that route, is really good because the Hughes & Kettner stuff doesn't have much character of its own, particularly the drive sound. To be honest, I think the drive on the TubeMaster is pretty poor, and I'd be hard pushed to just use that and not use any pedals, which is why I've got Electromonic Soul Food and I've got the Echoplex preamp and stuff kind of colouring the front end. And you really notice when you put that Echoplex preamp on, it goes from being a very flat sounding amp to sounding really vibey and really vintage sounding. TubeMaster 5 I highly recommend. I mean, if you don't want to spend a lot of money and you're looking at something like the Joyo Sweet Baby, then maybe what about the Crush? Is it Micro Crush or what's the really small orange Crush?
Oh yeah, the battery powered one.
Micro Terra, sorry, not the Crush.
No, yeah, the Micro Crush is the tiny battery powered.
Yeah, I don't mean that.
The Micro Terra is the little 20 watt valve preamp.
Well, so valve pre.
It's
then
got a 12AX7 in there.
Yeah. I quite like those when they first came out. I think they didn't sound bad at all.
No, they sound great.
I think that's a better option because you get the valve preamp for the warmth and a little bit of dynamics, but you've got the solid state power amp for the volume.
They do a little matching 112 cab for it as well. It looks whole wicked.
They do, and that's kind of the advantage over like the Moor stuff and the Hotone, is that there is actually a cab available for it. Yeah. And also, if you plug one into a 4x12, they sound amazing.
Yeah,
that's true. So they're actually giggable.
Yeah, you're kind of killing two birds with one stone in that. The small little package, which I think is what, 99 quid all in?
Yeah, it is 99 quid.
The head and the cab?
Oh, no, 99 quid is the head on its own.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
The cab's not a 112 though, it's a 1.8.
Oh, it's a 1.8, sorry, isn't it? Yeah,
it's a 1.8. Yeah, 1.8, that's right.
Yeah, it's called the Crush 108, I think. Yeah, or PPC 108.
I think that's 50 quid at least.
Yeah, I think it might be 99 and 59. Yeah. So for like 160 quid, you're getting a wicked home practice setup. And then if you go and do a gig and there's a 412 there or a 212, you could plug that little head in and it will make like way more noise than you expect. They sound really, really good. So, apart from that, you know, Blues Junior.
Yeah.
Do the business. Let's do one more question. Which one should we do? Okay, Will says, guys, can I have some honest opinions on Epiphone G400 Customs? I know the guys touched on the standard G400s the other week, but what are the necks like on them? Are they chunky? I like chunky. Matt, G400's kind of fallen off my radar a bit. So what's the current lineup on Epiphone SGs first, actually? Because it always used to be G310, which is the bolt-on one, G400, and then G400 Custom.
No, but now, so they've they do the special, which is the two humbucker, one volume, one tone. The 310, which is the two humbucker, two volume, two tone, but it's the uncovered pickup.
Yeah.
With the bolt-on neck, yeah. Then they do the worn G400.
Yeah, the faded one.
Yeah.
That's great.
Vintage plate, vintage looks, but the faded finish, which look awesome. And then up from that, it's the G400 Pro, which is basically the standard G400, but the reason they call them the Pro is that they now have the coil-tapping pickups. They're great guitars, but they are not chunky necks. They are like vintage SGs, and they all have kind of like a slim taper profile. So if you were kind of after like a 58 Les Paul, like big and thick sort of neck, then it's not going to be that kind of guitar. But having said that, they are an amazing guitar. If you want something a bit more light, a bit lighter than a Les Paul, and something a bit more, a bit different.
I think Will was actually asking about the Custom. Does that still exist?
I don't think they still do a Custom. They do a Tony Iommi SG Custom, which is his spec, but I don't think they do the Custom anymore, because I think the features on the Custom are now just the standard features on the G400 Pro.
Didn't the Custom have three humbuckers?
Yeah, Custom is the bound headstock three humbucker.
They used to do it in white with gold pickups and gold hardware.
I don't think that is a current model.
No, it's definitely not in the catalogue at the moment. Okay. But they were wicked.
Yeah.
But I still think they had the same neck as
I doubt they were any different from the standard.
In my experience, I didn't know whether they were still doing it and whether the spec had changed or not, but they're slim, basically. And also, SGs with three pickups, the wiring's a bit weird on them, as far as I'm aware, that you can't have...
You can't have three together.
Okay, but can you have two together?
Yes.
Okay.
Isn't there only one tone, but one of the volumes fades in the middle pickup?
Really?
Is that it?
Maybe no. You're right. There's a few different ways to wire three humbuckers. And yeah, maybe you can. Don't know. We need to do a bit of research. But they're wicked guitars. For me, that's the best looking SG. Like, I don't really like the kind of typical Angus Young cherry red SG. I'm all about that three pickup. And gold hardware, like, for me, straight away, I'm like, no, not into it. But there's two guitars where it's fine. One of them is the Les Paul Custom in white. The other one is an SG Custom in white. Looks so good. So good.
Yeah, solid guitar.
Oh, excuse me. Thanks for sending in your questions this week. facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum is where you can send them to. We actually got a whole bunch this week that we haven't
had time
for.
Oh, there were loads.
Maybe next week we should do
a
question.
Are we going to Patreon them or not?
No, we'll do a question special maybe next week where we just go through questions. This week on the Patreon, we are talking about the top five weird signature models as a bit of a follow-up to the video that I just put up on the YouTube channel. So it's Synergy.
I like that.
All the channels.
I'm into Synergy. I like pyramid schemes as well.
Okay, good. Do you want to get on a pyramid scheme?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, good. And talking of pyramid schemes, if you want to support the Guitar Nerds podcast, you can do via patreon.com/guitar nerds.
I really hate that word.
What?
Patreon. Really don't like
it. You can be our patron. Patron.
It sounds like a type of missile.
Patreon. At patreon.com/guitar nerds. And a small donation of $5 and above each month will get you an extra half an hour of podcasts. If you go up to the top tier, which is $10 a month, you'll get your name read out thusly.
Phil Thompson. Colin Anderson. Scott O'Brien. Moe Gravett. Fletcher.
Matt Quine, Chris Wilson, Will Clare.
Thanks very much for contributing to the Patreon, helping us to keep do this. Hasn't bought us any food this week because we've not had any time.
We've been in a rush.
Yeah, so we'll just bank it and we'll have an extra big pizza party next week.
Hooray.
Yeah,
screw you, Matt Knight.
Oh, we'll save it until you're in the room next. Then we can have an extra big pizza party when you're here.
Be a super big pizza by that point.
Yeah. Thanks so much for helping us out. If you do want to get involved, the places you can go, facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum. For extra episodes, you can head over to patreon.com/guitar nerds. I would highly recommend you go and subscribe to the YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/guitar nerds videos. There's loads of new stuff going up there. Jay, I think, is going to be doing the next video, which...
Amazing.
I mean, I don't know why we've allowed him to do that, but, you know. Joe is doing some stuff over on the site.
Oh, yeah.
Guitarnerds.net.
That's nearly ready.
Yeah, there's loads of places. I just signed up for Periscope.
You can find us on Periscope
at Guitar Nerds. I think the plan for that is each week before the show, maybe we'll try and do like a 5-minute, like as we're setting up, like pre-show.
Oh, God.
Something like that.
I'm going to have to start wearing trousers.
I know, unbelievable. That's Periscope. I assume it's you just go to the Periscope app at Guitar Nerds.
Yeah,
same for the Twitter, we're at Guitar Nerds. Find us there. Find us all over the intrawebs.
Yeah. Tinder.
Tinder, we're on there. We're not on there. You can find me at @mark_random on Twitter. You can find Joe at @joseph_900. You can find Matt at @mattnightsy. Thanks very much for joining this week. Joining us this week. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.